Hello and welcome to Vox Talk on Tuesday, the 20th of January, 2026. My name is Jake and I'll be compiling this week's edition, in which you will hear a selection of news items from the local Oxford papers, chosen and read by Patricia Lee and Ralph Weirs. Copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Sunrise today is at 7:55 and sunset is at 16:28. Before we start, here is some information on how to listen to Vox Talk on your Alexa device. At the end of the news, you can hear information on how to access Vox Talk online.
Notice to listeners of Vox Talk who may wish to use an Alexa smart speaker to access our service. To listen to Vox Talk on an Alexa device, you can use the Talking Newspaper skill. You will need to first enable the skill. To do this, simply say, "Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper." Then, to listen to Vox Talk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have any problems listening to Vox Talk using an Alexa device, it could be due to the way that your device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set it up in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Vox Talk and we will try to help.
An Oxfordshire village will get 350 new homes after plans were approved by the council, despite more than 100 objections being submitted. The homes would be built on a 17-hectare site off Burford Road in Bryce Norton on the northern edge of Carterton. West Oxfordshire District Council approved the plans at the Lowlands Planning Meeting on Monday, January the 12th. There were 116 objections on the planning portal and a number of people spoke against the plans at the meeting. Chair of Bryce Norton Parish Council, Les Goble, said, "Our village will have grown from 382 to 1,200 houses by 2027. This cannot be construed as limited development, and it's clear that Bryce Norton has delivered above and beyond its reasonable contribution to the housing requirement." The Oxford Growth Commission states that there is an aspiration for a Western Rail link between Oxford, Carterton and beyond. If this application is approved, this aspiration will be destroyed and the rail link would terminate at Bryce Norton. This application has been rejected by three councils and is totally reliant on existing infrastructure, which, as we all know, is woefully lacking. He added that if the development goes ahead, along with recently announced plans for 2,500 homes, it will cause unacceptable urban sprawl between Carterton, Bryce Norton, Minster Lovell and Whitney. Laura Bisbee, who spoke behalf of applicant Harper Crewe Bloombridge, said that the plans would include measures to improve the flood risk situation downstream and that they would agree to deliver an interim private sewage network in the event that Thames Water do not resolve the issues with the network. There were also four supporting comments, with neighbours saying that the added housing could unlock more community resources and that more homes are needed generally. Councillor Liam Walker, who represents Hayley, Minster Lovell and Leafield, said he had not heard any reason to object to the plans and felt concerned that refusing the plans could result in the council losing an appeal and wasting taxpayers' money. He proposed that the plans should be approved. Councillor Steve Cozier said he could not support the plans. He added, We are always talking about water, sewage, infrastructure, and all of us sing from the same hymn sheet when we say it isn't good enough. By going down this path, we are going against everything we say in every single meeting. The plans were approved with 4 councillors voting in favour, 2 councillors voting against, and 6 abstaining.
An iconic Oxford-covered market shop is in survival mode as the council's £8 million redevelopment of the historic retail district nears. The Oxford Cheese Company has said the implementation of Oxford City Council's master plan is going to cause substantial disruption to our business yet again. The business director, Robert Pouget, called the situation a nightmare. The redevelopment at the marketplace, which dates back to the 18th century and is Grade 2 listed, is set to begin imminently, with £7.96 million being spent on the project. The council has said it will deliver a new communal space, improved entrances, as well as new flooring and improved lighting. As part of the overall scheme, Market Street is being part pedestrianised and the service yard is being reorganised. The City Council has also said it is investing over £3 million on the market's roof and for internal refurbishment and decorations. Hopefully, the building works, said the spokesperson, will not last too long and we can revert to our previous opening times. The cheese business added that this latest disruption was simply the latest in a long line of challenges they have faced. A spokesperson said, we've survived COVID, the Jesus College conversion, which virtually closed access to Market Street from Corn Market, with no apologies or any compensation from the college, and the pedestrianisation of Market Street just recently. All of the above were beyond our control and meant resilience from our staff and our customers. Now we face another challenge, as the council embarks on its master plan for the covered market. Oxford City Council has been approached for comment.
A war of words has broken out over the state of Oxfordshire's roads on National Pothole Day. Labour's senior county politicians have accused Oxfordshire County Council of being in the slow lane when it comes to repairing potholes. But the County Council's Liberal Democrat Transport Chief Andrew Gant criticised the funding from the Labour government as the cause of the problem. All political sides seem to agree potholes are an issue, with the government this week ranking Oxfordshire as amber when it comes to the quality of our roads. Annalise Dodds, MP for Oxford East, insisted money is only part of the solution when it comes to fixing the roads, adding, "We also need effective local management." In a letter to Mr. Gant, she said the new rating system shows the government is doing its part. However, County Transport Cabinet member Mr. Gant pointed out the new questionable ranking system doesn't help fix a single extra pothole. While the roads are rated amber on condition, the authority is green on its spending and a high amber on the way it goes about fixing the problem. Mr. Gant added that the ranking comes in the same week Oxfordshire County Council published its draft budget papers, which makes starkly clear the huge challenges we face from ongoing and deepening cuts from the Labour government, he said. This administration of the County Council delivers a good service, maintaining our highways to a better level than its predecessors, said Mr. Gant. This is against the background of inadequate and failing investment from central government. There has been a lot of criticism of this ranking process from many quarters. If these Labour politicians really want to see improvements, they need to persuade their colleagues in Westminster to fund local government properly. A County Council spokesman said the authority is assessing the government's ranking and looking at what the green areas are doing differently. Sean Woodcock, Banbury MP, said the rating confirms that Oxfordshire County Council remains stuck in the slow lane. I have written to the Council alongside Annalise Dodds MP and Councillor Liz Brighouse, asking them to engage with the government and understand what it needs to do to ensure our community gets the roads we deserve, he added. Meanwhile, Conservative Group Leader Liam Walker said it is time to declare a pothole emergency in Oxfordshire and ask for more funding and resources to tackle the issue. Edmund King, AA President, said, "Potholes are more than an irritation. They cause damage, disruption and danger on a daily basis." Despite billions spent by successive governments, our patrols still attended more than 600,000 pothole-related breakdowns last year. That is simply unacceptable for a modern road network.
The County Council has warned that it will face a 5.4 million funding gap ahead of next year's budget, and may be unable to expand services as much as it would have liked. The government has changed the funding formula for local councils with the aim of directing more money towards deprived parts of the country. But the Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Finance has raised concerns that money is being redistributed away from Oxfordshire at the expense of its residents. The County Council said it was told how much money it would receive from the government for the next 3 years, just before Christmas. It found it would face a 5.4 million funding gap in 2026-27, with even bigger reductions from central government in future years. Councillors will agree on a budget at the full council meeting on February the 10th. The Council Scrutiny Committee and Cabinet will review budget proposals before the budget is set and discuss how the funding gap can be dealt with. The options for dealing with the funding gap include the use of reserves, setting less money aside in forecasting annual pay inflation, and putting less money than planned into dealing with the High Needs Dedicated Schools Grant deficit, which is funding for education services for children with special educational needs. Another option is to seek an additional 1.5 million from services in 2026-27 to help deal with the long-term financial pressures. Councillor Dan Levy, Cabinet Member for Property, Finance and Transformation, said there were options that do not impact services, but that the stark reality was they will not have that luxury in future years. He added, money is being redistributed away from Oxfordshire and other areas on a large scale by the government. There will be very real impact on our budgets and our services in future. While we respect the government's desire to put extra money into areas of the country that have higher levels of deprivation, we do not think this should be at the expense of Oxfordshire and its residents. He added that there were a number of positive investments in the budget, but we are going to start facing real challenges thereafter. The government has cut grant funding and assumed the council will make up the difference with maximum council tax rises. Council tax is proposed to rise by 4.99%, which is the maximum amount without triggering a referendum. A number of new investments will be made, including £19 million towards children's services, £14 million towards adult social care, £150,000 towards its Wantage Marketplace project, and £320,000 from reserves towards maintaining real-time passenger information, digital display boards at bus stops. An extra £400,000 would go towards the park and ride joint ticketing deal, which the council says had exceeded expectations due to the introduction of the congestion charge, with the funding coming from parking income. The council also said it would continue its 3-year investment in gully clearance agreed in last year's budget, with an additional £4 million investment being invested over the next 2 years for improved drainage infrastructure to help protect communities from flooding. In future years, the County Council will face an additional funding gap of £14 million in 2027-28 and another net reduction of £24.1 million in 2028-29. The Council added there will need to be planning work throughout 2026 to meet these challenges. The County Council usually gives the public an opportunity to air their opinion on the budget through a consultation ahead of the February decision. But the Council confirmed in November the budget would not go to public consultation because the government had not confirmed how much money they would get.
The first Bicester Scramble of 2026 has been hailed a success after more than 7,000 people attended the sold-out event. The 50-car gathering at Bicester Motion marked 50 years of one of Britain's most celebrated race teams on Sunday, January the 11th. The two-time Le Mans-winning Tom Walkinshaw Racing was started in nearby Kidlington in 1976, and some of its most famous cars, drivers and designers gathered at Bicester Motion to kickstart 2026. Live stage interviews with design great Ian Callum and Grand Prix winning former driver John Watson revealed stories from TWR's past in front of hundreds of former staff and the Walkinshaw family, while cars including the Le Mans winning XJR9 among more than 10 prototype sports cars. Iconic road cars developed by the team sat alongside race cars, including the cult hero Volvo 850 Estate from the British Touring Car Championships and some of Tom's own machinery. Elsewhere, the orchard lawn honoured 40 years since Group B rallying, with famous cars such as the Audi Quattro and Ford RS200, beside forgotten chapters of the motorsport category from Lada and Citroën. World-leading car makers, including resident specialist Polestar, plus Bentley, Maserati and Jaguar Land Rover, showcased its enthusiast-focused models, while folding bicycle creator Brompton made its first scramble appearance in the centre of the technical site. Opposite its pop-up exhibit in the motor bays, Porsche specialist Sports Purpose offered a rare close-up of the prototype Gordon Murray Automotive T50, and auctioneer Broad Arrow gave attendees the chance to see some of the cars soon to be auctioned in its Icons online sales. Yaza Motors, which moves headquarters this year to the ranges at Bicester Motion, displayed a model of its cutting-edge electric motor at the Scramble for the first time, which offers up to twice the power density of a traditional electric motor, despite weighing half as much. And two universities, Warwick and Oxford Brookes, provided a glimpse into the future by presenting a Formula Student racing car and a pioneering electric superbike, while automotive charity Starter Motor shone a light on the pioneering exploits of partner Jaguar Land Rover Classic. Classic car insurance and valuation specialist Haggerty brought its top 10 cars to buy in 2026, together with its on-site clubhouse, with experts on stage explaining the list, including an Alfa Romeo and Riley, and Top Gear magazine gathered some of the TG Awards winners from BMW, Renault and the stunning Chimera EVO 37. Bicester Motion CEO Daniel Geoghegan said, The 7,000 attendees were once again rewarded with something special at almost every turn, somewhat a scramble hallmark. It was a privilege to host so many of the engineers, staff and drivers of Tom Walkinshaw Racing, and so too his family, and I must thank the owners who so generously displayed their cars, not only in our historic hangar, but around the technical site. The second scramble of 2026 will take place on Sunday the 26th of April, marking 100 years of the technical site at RAF Bicester. Tickets are available from bicestermotion.com/scramble.
Outdoor clothing chain Mountain Warehouse is now planning a new store at Oxford's landmark former Waterstone shop, scotching rumours of a large Harry Potter attraction moving in. The chain, which last year opened a new larger store at the Orchard Centre in Didcot, has submitted a planning application to the City Council to put up new signs at the iconic William Baker House on the corner of Cornmarket Street and Broad Street. Susanna Pressell, Labour City Councillor for Roseney and St Thomas Ward, said she would prefer to see a Mountain Warehouse store open instead of a bank or a building society. She added, "This is such a prominent site. It would be good to have something special, and certainly not yet another tourist shop. I loved having Waterstones there. I often used it, and it was always full of customers. I'm sorry it has moved to a smaller store in a less prominent site. At least Mountain Warehouse is useful. Trainers and casual clothing are ubiquitous nowadays, and they are reasonably priced at this store. It is understood that Mountain Warehouse will occupy the ground floor and first floor and could use the basement, once the home of children's books, for stock and storage. Simon Drake, general manager of the Store Hotel, said, "We are delighted to see our neighbours grow and expand their operation. The business is a great asset to Oxford as the gateway to the Cotswolds, providing everything you would need to explore our amazing county and beyond. Mountain Warehouse already has a shop in Broad Street, a short distance from William Baker House. A member of staff declined to comment. Waterstones was at Grade 2 listed William Baker House from 1998 until its closure last summer. Five-storey William Baker House first opened in 1915. Its bookstore interior has now been completely stripped out, and it is not known how many floors Mountain Warehouse would occupy. William Baker House is next door to the Store Hotel, which opened on the site of the former Boswell's department store, which closed in 2020. The boutique hotel opened in May 2024 and features a rooftop bar and Treadwell restaurant. Mountain Warehouse first opened at the Orchard Centre in Didcot in 2018.
Changes to how household waste recycling centres function have come into force across Oxfordshire. Oxfordshire County Council has, of Wednesday, January the 14th, introduced a booking system at all waste centres across the county. Anyone visiting a household waste recycling centre must now book a slot online before taking their rubbish and show proof of address when they arrive. Bookings are available up to 2 weeks in advance or 30 minutes prior, subject to availability. To book a slot, visitors have to enter their own details, choose the centre they will be attending, enter the type of waste they're taking, and choose a date and time. An email confirmation following the booking will explain what visitors with chargeable waste should do and their weekly free allowance. Slots can also be booked over the phone by calling the Oxfordshire County Council Customer Service Centre, open Monday to Friday, on 01865 519 800. Proof of address will be required before waste can be dumped to prove the visitor lives in Oxfordshire and is entitled to dump their rubbish for free. Anyone visiting from out of the county must also bring proof of address and will have to pay a £15 fee per visit.
There are fears of a rise in fly tipping as changes to the Oxfordshire recycling scheme come into force. Visitors to household waste recycling centres must now book a slot online beforehand. Bookings are available up to 2 weeks in advance or 30 minutes prior, subject to availability. After making the booking, a confirmation email with all the necessary details will be sent. This will explain what to do if you have any chargeable waste and your weekly free allowance. The new scheme has received some criticism, with Witney councillor Thomas Ashby calling it completely nuts. I imagine we will sadly see an increase in fly tipping. Visitors to any recycling plant must now bring proof of address, such as a driving licence. People who do not live in Oxfordshire will need to pay £15 per visit to use a household waste and recycling centre in the county. Payment will be taken upon arrival, and an additional charge will be applied for all do-it-yourself waste. Mr. Ashby isn't the only person who believes that the changes will lead to an increase in fly tipping, with users on social media also fearing the impact. A spokesperson for Oxfordshire County Council said, "Some residents may be concerned that a booking system could cause fly tipping to increase. However, an independent study carried out in 2022 revealed that there was no evidence that the introduction of one led to increases in fly tipping. Other changes coming into force include that the number of permitted visits is set to be reduced from 12 to 10 per year. All trailers will require a permit and must be no longer than 2.4 metres in total length, and vehicles registered to a business used for work or displaying business branding or signage will not be permitted. Additionally, horse boxes and horse box vans will no longer be permitted. Oxfordshire County Council operates 7 household waste recycling centres across the county: Alkerton, Banbury, Ardley Fields, Bicester, Dix Pit, Stanton Harcourt, Drayton, Abingdon, Oakley Wood, Wallingford, Redbridge, Oxford, and Stanford in the Vale, Wantage.
A consultation on plans for a massive new reservoir near Abingdon has come to a close, with MPs launching a scathing attack on Thames Water. Liberal Democrat MPs from across Oxfordshire have criticised the utility company, questioning its ability to manage the reservoir project as it moves forward. A consultation exercise to ask residents their views, which started in October, concluded on Tuesday. The 150 billion litre reservoir would be southwest of the town and would secure water supply for 15 million people, including Thames Water, Affinity Water and Southern Water customers. The company has welcomed 1,261 people across 7 in-person and 2 online events and has received almost 900 consultation responses. Feedback gathered will inform the company's development consent order application, which it will submit to the government later this year. Liberal Democrat MPs, including Leila Moran, MP for Oxford West and Abingdon, have condemned the water company's performance, claiming it should be taken into public ownership. Ms. Moran claimed the company has no future and is urging the government to release its delayed plans to reform the sector and bring in a new regulator. She has highlighted how unfair it is that customers in her constituency are being asked to pay 3% more for their water bills in 2025-26, despite systemic service failures. The MP also criticised the failure to invest, with Thames Water admitting that £19 billion of its infrastructure is in poor or failed condition. Didcot and Wantage MP Ollie Glover highlighted the estimated cost of constructing the reservoir has risen from £2.2 billion to up to £7.5 billion. The reservoir would provide up to 271 megalitres of water per day during drought, the equivalent to around 3 million baths. Campaign group GUARD, Group Against Reservoir Development, continues to oppose the reservoir plans. A spokesman said, "We are being asked to accept an overly expensive and destructive scheme that has not been proven to work or to be the best value solution. What the press and government often overlook, and what Thames Water tries to bury, is that there are other options, faster, more dependable, less destructive, and far less disruptive. If this were a normal-sized reservoir, many people would roll up their sleeves and help, but it isn't. It's larger than all the planned new reservoirs combined, and South Oxfordshire is being asked to carry that burden without the evidence such a sacrifice demands." A Thames Water spokesman said, "The reservoir is of national importance in securing future water supply for the South East. We're committed to making the reservoir a reality and will deliver the project using the same tried and tested funding model used for the £4.5 billion Thames Tideway Tunnel."
More than 31,000 fines have been given out to motorists who did not pay Oxford's congestion charge, new figures have revealed. Oxfordshire County Council has also raised more than £700,000 so far from those who have paid the daily £5 charge. Motorists must pay the charge for driving through any of the 6 charging points on different roads across the city, unless they use a day pass or have a permit. The council approved introducing the charge last September, and it was rolled out on October the 29th. As of January the 7th, the county council gave out 31,588 fines to those who have driven through congestion charging points without paying the £5 charge. This means, on average, that approximately 1,932 cars are passing through congestion charge points each day and paying the charge. Councillor Liam Walker, leader of the Conservative Opposition Group, said, "The headline figure of more than £728,000 raised through £5 congestion charges by early January doesn't tell the success story the County Council might want it to. What it really shows is that tens of thousands of people feel they have little choice but to pay. When more than 135,000 individual charges are logged in just a few months, it suggests behaviour hasn't changed significantly. People are still making the same journeys, just at extra personal cost. The sharp jump from £291,000 in the first month alone raises serious questions about whether this scheme is reducing traffic or simply becoming a steady revenue stream. Add to that over £22,000 already raised in current paid fines, and it begins to look less like a transport solution and more like a tax on those who rely on their cars." The County Council announced last Thursday, January the 8th, that the offer of free park and ride journeys, which was introduced to cover the first 3 months of the congestion charge, would be extended to the end of March 2026. Councillor Andrew Gant, Cabinet Member for Transport Management, said, "The free park and ride bus journey offer is proving extremely popular, with park and ride operators reporting over 179,000 more journeys in the first 2 months of the offer than the same period last year. I'm pleased that so many people are benefiting, not just from our offer of free bus journeys, but also faster park and ride services since the congestion charge was introduced. The fantastic take-up is contributing to cleaner air, reduced traffic and safer streets. With bus companies now providing further service improvements, people have more choice and convenience when it comes to bus travel and accessing the city, including major hospital sites. The scheme will end when Botley Road reopens, which is meant to happen in August 2026. It will be replaced by the traffic filter trial, where motorists will be fined £70, decreasing to £35 if they pay within 21 days for driving through the same roads affected by the congestion charge.
A new portrait exhibition is shining a light on individuals affected by breast cancer. The exhibition, entitled Facing the Future, is running at Kendrew Barn at St John's College in Oxford and features 16 portraits captured by artists Paul Starnes and Ruth Swain. It highlights the personal impact of breast cancer through the stories of patients, healthcare professionals and the loved ones left behind. The display aims to raise funds for the charity Breast Cancer Now, while also bringing attention to the indiscriminate nature of the disease. Among those featured are broadcaster Sarah Beeny, gold medal winning Paralympian Anne Usher, former breast cancer surgeon Liz O'Riordan, and author and activist Emma Campbell. Mr. Starnes and Ms. Swain said, "We couldn't have imagined when we met as not-so-fresh-faced students at the Art Academy in 2021 that it would be the start of our friendship and lead to Facing the Future." Inspired by the exhibition Silent Testimony by Colin Davidson, featuring portraits and stories of individuals affected by the Troubles of Northern Ireland, our respective experiences of cancer diagnosis were the common ground that prompted this. The purpose of the project is to show that breast cancer affects everyone, and our eternal thanks goes to the diverse group of individuals who agreed to participate in the project. Facing the Future was first shown at the Art Academy in London in October 2025. It continues to raise funds and awareness for Breast Cancer Now, which supports those affected by breast cancer through research and services. Chief Executive of Breast Cancer Now, Claire Rowney, said, "We're very grateful to the Facing the Future team for creating this incredible exhibition, raising funds for breast cancer. Now, shining a spotlight on the realities of how a breast cancer diagnosis can impact individuals' lives, and for the staggering £130,000 they have already raised for the charity. It's fantastic to be profiling health professionals who dedicate their time to developing treatments and ultimately a cure for this disease. We rely on the generosity of the UK public to enable us to make a difference to those affected by breast cancer through our life-saving research and life-changing support services, as we strive to realise our ambition that by 2050, everyone diagnosed with breast cancer will live and live well." According to Breast Cancer Now, more than 55,000 women and 400 men are diagnosed with breast cancer each year in the UK, and 11,500 people die from the disease annually, making it the leading cause of death in working age women. Facing the Future runs from February the 20th to the 25th.
Oxfordshire's Transport Chief has welcomed plans to give councils more powers to fine motorists for selfish and inconsiderate pavement parking that puts people in danger. The government has decided to give councillors greater enforcement powers to deal with unnecessary obstruction of pavements. Under existing rules, the police can fine those who leave their cars in a dangerous position or cause obstruction. But council officers can only give out fines for breaches of on-road rules such as double yellow lines. Lib Dem councillor Andrew Gant, cabinet member for transport management for Oxfordshire County Council, said, "We very much support the introduction of tougher restrictions on pavement parking, as this is something we have actively looked to enforce in Oxfordshire for some time. In fact, we wrote to the Future of Roads Housing Minister about this very point last year. Pavements are for pedestrians, not vehicles." Labour councillor Susanna Pressel, who represents Jericho and Osney, said, "I get very frequent complaints from people in my division who are upset about pavements blocked by parked vehicles. It is, of course, especially upsetting for blind people or people with wheelchairs or pushchairs, of which there are a lot. We have been lobbying the government for years, and I'm delighted that councils are at last going to get the powers to deal with this scourge." The government said that what counts as unnecessary obstruction will be at the discretion of council enforcement officers. The document from the Department for Transport added that there may be some roads where parking on pavements is necessary to allow emergency vehicles through. Ms. Pressel added, "I realise that some streets are narrow, with not enough space for residents' cars, but I hope that there will quite soon be fewer cars around. The reason I'm hopeful is because bus services are improving in the city, cycling is getting safer, people are getting fitter. Many people are choosing to buy an e-bike instead of a new car, or they are choosing to join a car club instead of buying a car. I hope all this will bring cleaner air and create more space for people in our cities." Robin Tucker, co-chair of the Coalition for Healthy Streets and Active Travel, said the group supports the move and that pavement parking can be inconvenient for able people, hazardous for families, and downright dangerous for wheelchair users forced into the road. He added, "We hope that Oxfordshire County Council will be among the first to adopt these powers, reflecting pedestrians at the top of the transport hierarchy, and we hope that all groups will join us in supporting them in making pavement safer and easier for everyone. Some have called for the government to go further and introduce national standards on pavement parking."
A bar in Oxford city centre has had its licence suspended temporarily after shisha was found at the premises. Thirst Bar on Park End Street had been investigated by Trading Standards, who found evidence that the bar had been used to store and supply illegal tobacco products on three separate occasions. The venue was discussed by Oxford City Council's Licensing Committee at their meeting on Monday, January 12th, who ruled the bar should lose its licence until Friday, January 23rd. In a formal inspection last March, Trading Standards seized 8 kilograms of non-duty paid waterback tobacco that was left in an unlocked cupboard. A representative from Trading Standards told the committee that none of the smoking pipes had any of the statutory health warnings and that it was clear from the labelling alone that the items had been smuggled. This was after the officers visited the premises in August 2024, and were told by a member of staff that no shisha was being kept or sold there and that the pipes were only for hire for customers to provide their own tobacco. Shisha was also seized from the premises in 2019 and 2020. He added there were a number of posts on the official Thirst social media pages featuring images of people using shisha at the bar, signs that read shisha £15, with hashtags shisha and hookah being used. A representative of Spirit Bar Limited, who run the premises, said the shisha was being provided by a third party and had nothing to do with Thirst. A mitigation statement on behalf of Thirst said the operator deeply regrets the oversight and understands the importance of strict compliance with all licensing, health and smoking legislation. The involvement of a third-party shisha provider arose from a genuine misunderstanding of the legal requirements and restrictions associated with indoor smoking and health regulations. At no time did the operator knowingly or deliberately seek to circumvent licensing conditions or public health legislation. The bar has stopped operating shisha permanently and voluntarily closed its doors for 2 weeks to demonstrate the operator's learning going forward. The committee introduced a number of conditions for when it reopens, including that no tobacco or herbal smoking products stored, sold or supplied, no water pipes to be available to be used on the premises, that the social media posts including shisha should be deleted, and that all staff working should get training.
The demolition of the former Odeon Cinema in Oxford is expected to start in the summer. Odeon Oxford and George Street closed at the end of January last year to make way for controversial plans from Oxford City Council to demolish the building and redevelop it into a new hotel complex. Plans by Marrick Real Estate to demolish the cinema building and replace it with an apart hotel were approved by the council. Matthew Kimberley, development manager for Marrick Real Estate, said, "Demolition of the existing building will start in the summer, and hopefully this will be completed by the end of the year, or early in 2027. The work will need to be done very carefully to ensure that noise and vibration is kept to a minimum for our neighbours, including the old fire station venue. Building contractors are about to be appointed, and work to build a new hotel is expected to be completed by the winter of 2028. Mr. Kimberley added that it was one of the prerequisites of the scheme that Gloucester Green Market will be able to continue trading throughout the construction process. The market will continue to operate as it has done before, he said. Gloucester Green Market runs 4 days a week, from Wednesday to Saturday, and features food stalls and traders selling clothes and antiques. The apart hotel will feature about 145 rooms, and these will be built on the upper five stories of the building, with a reception on the ground floor, including a bar and cafe. Apart hotel rooms are different from those at a normal hotel, as they offer furnished apartments with an ensuite kitchen featuring a cooker and fridge. The apart hotel will be operated by Stay City Group under their four-star lifestyle Wild brand. The development will include a 400 square metre community space developed in partnership with Makespace Oxford. This space off St George's Place will serve as a hub for a wide variety of community activities. Mr Kimberley said businesses in the city would soon be briefed on the latest timetable for demolition and construction of the new hotel. A stone sculpture displayed on the front of the cinema has been retained and will be displayed on the new building as a reference to its past. It opened in 1936. The Oxford Cinema and Cafe has now opened on the site of the former Odeon Cinema in Magdalen Street. The Odeon closed in the 1920s building in 2023, and independent cinema operator Alejandro Wyatt Miranda stepped in.
Sir Keir Starmer should overrule people concerned about the environment to fast-track an Oxford to Cambridge corridor, a Labour think tank has suggested. Ministers are going to consider Labour Together's Project Hawking, which sets out how the Oxford to Cambridge corridor could triple in size by 2050. Connecting the university cities, Chancellor Rachel Reeves said the new project would be Europe's Silicon Valley. Among the ideas by the think tank are a fleet of new towns spread across the 100 miles between the two cities. The report has called for a single powerful development corporation called Hawking DevCo that can bypass local politics and would report directly to the Chancellor. Labour Together say the corporation would be the supreme planning authority for the corridor drawn by Parliament. And while it will ask local politicians for advice about how to do things, it would not need their permission. This is a nationally significant project. Its level of ambition should be set by national politicians, the report says. Ms. Reeves says the corridor could add £78 billion to the UK's economy by 2035 and has committed to funding for the East-West Rail Link joining the cities. Plans to establish a new national forest in the Oxford-Cambridge corridor was also announced last year as part of the government's £1 billion tree planting commitment to be invested this Parliament. The Cowley branch line in Oxford will reopen after receiving £120 million of the funding, it was announced in October, with new stations in Littlemore and Cowley. The Treasury said the new railway line would support up to 10,000 new jobs. Research facility the Ellison Institute of Technology announced a £10 billion expansion of its Oxford base over the next decade, which is expected to create around 7,000 jobs. Labour Together helped put Sir Keir into Downing Street, formerly headed by Morgan McSweeney, the No. 10 Chief of Staff. It has also recommended that Ms. Reeves set a target to triple GDP in the corridor in the next 25 years. The Hawking DevCo should also have powers to discharge environmental regulation in the corridor, taking them from Natural England and the Environment Agency, the report says. A single body that coordinates infrastructure across the corridor can also look residents in the eye to say development means better hospitals, more nature, and a shorter commute, it promises.
A pub company is urging drinkers to support their local during January, one of the quieter months of the year for the trade. Butcombe Pubs and Inns is calling on guests to make a conscious effort to support their local, as rising costs and increasing pressures continue to put strain in the industry. The Victoria Arms, an historic building in Old Marston, is one of the hostelries in the county run by Butcombe, and it is being chosen as the Oxford Mail Pub of the Week. Some drinkers decide not to drink alcohol during Dry January, choosing instead non-alcoholic alternatives. The pub said in a statement, "Situated on the banks of the River Charwell in Old Marston, the Victoria Arms is a stunning riverside pub and restaurant, with mooring available for punts on the River Charwell. Full of local history, the building dates back to the 17th century as the ferryman's cottage, and once hosted a certain Oliver Cromwell. The Victoria offers traditional pub charm with beautiful interiors, a heated pergola terrace, and huge beer gardens overlooking the river. During the summer months, the gardens are a favourite destination for drinkers who want to enjoy a pint in the sun, while during the winter months, the pub's cosy interior is usually the preferred option. Across the UK, pubs are grappling with higher operating costs, tighter margins, and a growing list of regulatory demands. For many, the weeks after Christmas can be the difference between a strong year ahead and a difficult one. As a result, Butcombe Pubs and Inns is encouraging guests to keep visiting. Jason Perfect, Chief Operating Officer of Butcombe Pubs and Inns, said, "Pubs are more than businesses. They're part of the social fabric. They are places where people meet, talk, laugh, and feel connected. But the reality is that many pubs are under real pressure. So if you value your local, January is the time to show it." Butcombe's pubs and inns across the south of England are creating seasonal dishes made with local produce, award-winning Butcombe beers, including low and no alcohol options for dry January, served in warm, welcoming spaces with log fires and welcoming staff. Mr. Perfect added, "Choosing to visit your local, even for a quick drink, has a real impact. It keeps teams employed, communities connected, and pubs thriving at a time when many are fighting to stay afloat. We know January can feel long and quiet, but your local pub doesn't have to be. Pop in for a pint, book a Sunday roast, bring the dog after a walk. It all helps."
The boss of The Gym Group has said weight loss drugs are boosting demand across its fitness chains as people look to keep the weight off from jabs and maintain muscle mass. Will Orr, chief executive of the low-cost gym firm, told the press association the company was absolutely seeing the impact of GLP-1s as a tailwind and contributory factor for the business, viewing their rise as an opportunity to help people sustain the results that might come from GLP-1s. Last week, a study by the University of Oxford suggested people on fat loss jabs needed ongoing support through diet and exercise to stop regaining the weight, while separate research from University College London, UCL, and the University of Cambridge found people taking jabs may be vulnerable to muscle loss. Mr. Orr said building strength at the gym was important for people on these jabs as GLP-1s can reduce muscle density. Analysts at Peel Hunt cited GLP-1 medications, along with Generation Z viewing fitness as mandatory, as being key contributors to continued demand for the group's gyms, as it said the company should be a core leisure holding with plenty of growth to look forward to. But Mr. Orr said he thought there was a wider health trend that was there before GLP-1s, calling health, fitness and wellness juggernaut trends that are not going anywhere.
Aldi has announced another pay rise for its store colleagues. Staff across Oxfordshire will benefit from the supermarket chain's latest £36 million investment in pay and benefits, which comes into effect from Sunday, March 1, 2026. Starting pay for store assistants will rise to £13.35 per hour, increasing to £14.30 with longer service. Giles Hurley, Chief Executive Officer of Aldi UK and Ireland, said, "Our colleagues are at the heart of everything we do. Their hard work and dedication is what allows us to offer customers the quality, value and service they expect from Aldi. That's why we're making such a significant investment in our promise to never be beaten on pay for our colleagues. Store apprentices in Oxfordshire will see their hourly rate climb to £12.02, which is significantly higher than the minimum wage for first-year apprentices. Aldi remains the only supermarket to offer paid breaks to all store colleagues, a benefit worth up to £1,470 per year. Aldi colleagues will see their pay rise in the coming months and will also benefit from enhanced family-friendly benefits, including maternity pay extended to 26 weeks at full pay. Anyone interested in a career with Aldi can find more information at the Aldi recruitment website.
Oxford United have appointed new coaches before their upcoming match against Bristol City. With recently appointed manager Matt Bloomfield's first match in the dugout days away, the U's have announced two new appointments. Mike Dodds has become assistant head coach, having previously coached at Birmingham City and Sunderland, and having most recently been the head coach of League One side Wycombe Wanderers. Meanwhile, Ben Cern will begin his coach analyst role next week, having previously worked alongside Mr. Bloomfield at Colchester United, Wycombe Wanderers and Luton Town. The club additionally announced that all existing backroom staff will remain in place. The new gaffer was revealed on Friday, January the 9th, and observed the U's FA Cup third round victory from the stands. Craig Short, Lewis Price and Chris Hackett took charge of the match, which has resulted in a fourth round tie at home to Sunderland AFC. This will take place over the weekend of February the 14th and February the 15th. Before then, the team's focus will be on the battle against the drop, with Oxford United currently 23rd in the Championship, 3 points from safety.
Oxford United has shared images of Matt Bloomfield's first session as head coach. The former Luton Town boss was unveiled as the new head coach at the Kassam Stadium earlier this month. Oxford parted ways with previous head coach Gary Rowett 2 days before Christmas and have concluded the recruitment process with the appointment of Bloomfield. Speaking to the club, Bloomfield said, "I'm incredibly proud to be joining Oxford United. This felt like the right place at the right time. Oxford United are a club with good foundations, ambition, and a playing group with significant potential. And that matches exactly where I am as a coach. I want my teams to work hard, attack with purpose, and play with a clear identity. Everyone has to understand their role, be accountable, and deliver consistently. I can't wait to get out onto the grass and begin working with the players and staff to help this club push forward this season and beyond. Oxford are looking to avoid relegation from the Championship this season and currently sit 23rd in the league, 3 points from safety."
That was the last of our articles for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about OxTalk, please telephone Margaret on 07496 062280. That's 07496 062280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. You can also listen on an Alexa device through the Talking Newspaper skill. If you need advice on this, please phone the main OxTalk number. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday with more news, so until then, we hope you have a good week.